Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Well, we live in a world that just, it moves fast, fast schedules, fast phones, and oftentimes it's, sometimes it seems like the whole, you know, year flies by. But it's not just the pace of this world, it's also what we're chasing after that causes things to seem so fast. We are after more money, a bigger house, a bigger car, material things, and such a desire for the things of this world. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get caught up in it. You ever been caught up in that? There's something that you want and some desire that you have. Well, it's easy sometimes to even desire stuff that you don't really even need. In the world, it can do that where you get off track and before you know it, you're jumping in the current of this world, and you're going in a direction that you didn't intend on going. You're fast in the direction of wants, or fast in the direction of desires, sometimes even fast in the direction of sin. And the early church really talked a lot about these desires that get us off course, and sometimes the apostles would call these desires lusts, right? And these things are always moving. They're always seducing the lusts of this life. So I'm calling this series, Fast and Furious, A Lust for This Life. And so really interesting topic, but just something that's been on my heart. If you will, go with me to 1 John 2:16 today. 1 John 2:16. And I'm going to read this in a couple of different translations. King James says, "For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." New Living Translation says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." So these things are from the world, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These things, they don't come from God. These things will rob you, actually, of your spiritual journey. Sometimes they look good at the onset, but then actually they become a stumbling block in you having a greater relationship with God. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So let's look at these things that don't come from God, but are working all throughout our world. Everywhere we go, everywhere we look, we see in this world the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh. When I go to the gym, I get a chance to hang out with some guys that don't go to church. Actually, that's the furthest thing on their mind, is to go to church. And that's okay for us to hang out with people like that, because Jesus did that. He hung out with sinners. He hung out with people that weren't perfect, that had some stuff going on in their lives. So when I'm hanging out with some of these guys, their conversation is not spiritual. You probably guessed, right? They're talking about girls, they're talking about dating, they're talking about drinking, they're talking about parties. The lust of the flesh, right? It's selfish. It's about what I want. It's about what makes me feel good, fulfilling my natural desires, fulfilling natural cravings, seeking physical pleasure. That is the lust of the flesh. What about the lust of the eyes? Craving the things that we see. Ever saw that car commercial and you're like, man, I need that. I need that in my life, but you don't really need it. You just want it. We have a lot of things that we look at. The lust of the eyes. I want that. I want that car. I want that house. I want that person. Right? The lust of the eyes. And it's going and saying, man, I see that. I want that, without even considering, is this the best thing for me? Is this right for me? Or is this right or wrong? No, I'm jumping right past that and saying, I want that. I want what I see. And we start focusing on that. What's the pride of life? It's pride in our possessions, our achievements. We're boasting in the things that we've done. I'm not boasting in what God has done per se, but what I think that I've accomplished. That's not God's way, because when we start focusing on what we've done, we're focusing less on what He's done, what He wants to do, what He could do. in our lives. And so pride takes the focus and puts the focus in the wrong areas, and it blinds us to what God really wants to do. So we have craving, natural desires, craving what we see, and the pride in our own accomplishments. These things, they don't originate from God. They don't come from God, but yet they are at work in the earth, right? They're at work in the world. Everywhere we see, everywhere we look, every time we turn on the television, every time we turn on social media, we see, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And so when these cravings are at work in you, it taints your walk with God. It's not a big aha moment, but it's true. These things reduce, they downgrade our ability to fulfill our purpose, right? Sometimes the enemy slips these subtle desires into our life, and when we come into agreement with us, we don't really realize that it robs us of our ability to fulfill our purpose. And so subtly, the enemy is robbing us with these desires. We think, oh, this is harmless. Oh, this is not going to cause much problem. Oh, this is not going to cause much pain. I can just use this as it's an add-on. It's not going to conflict with what God is doing, but it really takes away. It robs from a stronger relationship with God. It robs from the destiny, from the purpose, from the blessing that God has. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Mark 7:20, Jesus said, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." So if the lust is in you, it will corrupt you. If you allow it to operate in you, it's going to subtly begin to corrupt you. If the lust is in this place that was meant to be a temple for the Holy Spirit, then guess what? It's going to cause a problem. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God and lust of the flesh is not going to cohabitate. Right? So these desires that the enemy entices us with, if we allow those things to continue and exist in us, the Holy Spirit cannot cohabitate. He's not going to be a roommate with lust and pride, right? And these desires that don't come from Him, He's not going to work. It's not going to work together. So how do we get to this point? How do we get off track? How do we get defiled? How do we get led astray? It's really the pace of the world that we live in. It's easy to get caught in that current, right? Because it's everywhere. It's on TV. It's in the movies, right? Everywhere you look. If you don't know and you're not in the Word and you're not studying what God said, you're not studying what Jesus taught, guess what? You're going to get caught up in that current. As Christians, we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I wanting what God wants, or am I wanting the same exact thing that the world wants? Because if I want what the world wants, I'm going to start to look like the world looks. And if I keep on looking like the world looks, I'm going to be like the world is. Suddenly, I'm not going to be like Christ. I'm going to be like the world. Is my desire for God, or is my desire for this world? We're talking about a lust for this life. You can slap whatever label on it. You can still call it Christian, but if you got these desires and you allow these desires to continue unchecked, are you really following Jesus? If you leave these things and you don't address them, you don't check them, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian. At the end of the day, are you really following Jesus? If you lust for this, for what you see, if you lust for this, what they have, what they're doing, you can't be a part of what God is doing. That's harsh, right? But that's actually exactly what Jesus said. If you lust and you want to continue to go back to these desires, you can't have what God has for you. You can't do this and have eternal life. You can't do this and be blessed. You can't do this and have healing. You can't do this and find salvation. You can clap or you cannot clap, but this is what Jesus says. Luke 9:62. This is what Jesus said, all right? I know it's a tough pill to swallow. He said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Wow. So he said, all right, if you commit, you say, man, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do this thing. But then you say, man, I kind of like some of these old desires. Maybe I could just kind of put my hand on the plow with one hand and kind of grab a couple of these desires that I like still with the other. He said, you're not worthy of this. You can't have, you've disqualified yourself from this. If you put your hand to the plow and you turn back to those old lusts, he says, you're not worthy of the kingdom. To be worthy of this life, of this covenant, of this promise, you got to put your hand to the plow and you got to continue in it. It's not saying that you're never going to make a mistake. It's just you're saying, I have committed to work these things out in my life. I have committed to work these skeletons out of my closet. I have committed to deal with these desires and continue to pray about them and continue to talk about these things until I address them. I'm putting my hand to the plow and I'm not stopping. I'm committing to what God has for me. I'm committing to this new life in Christ. It's the shifting of my desires to become his desires. I want to want what he wants. I don't want to want what I naturally, in my natural mind, want. Right? Husbands, when we first get married, we have to make this transition of what we wanted as a single man to what a married man should be wanting. Right? So when we get married to Jesus and we marry into this new covenant, we have to begin to say, I'm pushing these other desires away. I don't want these things. I'm putting those out of my life and I'm bringing new desires in. I'm bringing his desires into my life. I want to be holy as he is holy, right? What does holy mean? It means set apart. Set apart. So if I'm set apart, I'm not doing the exact same thing the world is doing. I'm set apart. I'm doing something different, right? Isn't that what Peter said? 1 Peter 1:15, he said, but now you must be holy. I love this. In, somebody read that word for me. Everything. Not some things, not most things. Peter, who hung out with Jesus, one of his top disciples, says, you must be holy in how many things? Everything. So this is the goal that I'm pushing towards. I may not be that today, but I'm continuing to work out all the issues, all the desires that are not his desires. I want to work those things out until I am holy in everything that I do, just as God is holy, who chose you. For scripture say, you must be holy because I am holy. Jesus also said, if you love me, obey my commandments. So we prove that we love him. We prove that we're following him by obeying his commandments. I'm not just saying, yes, Jesus, save me. I accept you as Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And then that's it. It's a done deal. No. Now you have to prove your faith. Now you have to walk out your faith. Now you have to live your faith. Now you have to divorce some of these desires. The lust of this world is, it's enticing, right? It's seductive. You think you're done with it, but then it comes and welcomes you back, right? You think, hey, get out of here. And it says, hey, but come on back over here. The lust for this world, it is easy to buy into. It's difficult to refuse. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, with God's help, that we're able to distance ourselves and become a new creation, right? So what do you look like today? Do you look like Jesus or do you look like the world? If you look like the world, you're going to be like the world. If you're living that fast life, that lust for this life, you're going to look the same as the world. James, this is what James said in James 4:4, right? Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? And if that wasn't clear enough, he says, I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Well, that's difficult. And you might say, well, Pastor, I thought that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Yes, he was a friend of sinners, but he was not a friend of the world system. He was not a friend of the way that the world thought. He was not a friend of the patterns and the principles and the philosophy and the ideology of the world. Jesus loved people, no matter how messed up, no matter how dirty, no matter how many skeletons were in their closet, Jesus loved them. He was a friend of them, but he was not a friend of the world system, the world construct. If you make yourself a friend of the world system, you become an enemy of God. If you're celebrating in June what the world is celebrating, guess what? You set yourself up as an enemy. I can love people, and I do love people, but I do not love the world's way of thinking of things. I do not agree. I'm not going to agree with everything that the world says. I can't, because I'm following Christ. I can't look like the world, because the world has got a different set of thought process. So because I'm following Christ. My position is not to do what's easy or culturally acceptable. My position is, what did Christ command? What did Jesus say? I heard something really interesting that Pastor Brian Houston said. He said, they were asking him about some tender topic, some hot topic, and he said, well, as a Christian, I believe what's in the Bible. And this is so important. My position, your position, is not to be politically correct, politically acceptable. Our position is to be obedient to Christ. And here is the thing, when you take a step back, that this, it's the most logical decision that you can make today. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So that means being anchored to what Jesus taught is the smartest, wisest, best thing that you can do for your future. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So since Jesus came, lots of governments have risen and fallen. Cultures have risen, cultures have fallen. Societies, great societies, have risen and fallen. Philosophical ideas and thought processes have risen and fallen. But it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, guess what? Jesus is still around. Jesus is eternal. Christianity is only getting stronger. Those who follow Christ. Jesus didn't look like the world. There is a current age, and it's easy to get swept in. You can do that, or you can get anchored to what Christ has said and what Christ taught. Jesus didn't look like the world. He stood out as different. Jesus reflected God's heart and his vision for mankind. If we don't look a little different than the world, at least a little different, we're doing it wrong. Because Jesus looked different. Jesus talked different. Jesus thought differently. Jesus wasn't strange for strange sake. He was different because he was showing a different model. He said, you guys have downgraded. Let me show you how to upgrade and get back to the original design, the purpose, where there's more functionality, where there's more blessing, where God can actually use you. Jesus was different because he displayed the Father's heart in a creative and unique way. He stood out as different. Jesus came to shift culture, not agree with it. And we as his church have to understand, you were not sent here. You were not saved. You were not reborn into the kingdom of God to agree with this culture. You've been sent on a mission to shift it, to change it, to bring it closer to heaven on earth. When we as God's people, when we as God's sons and daughters get this and understand this, we were not meant to fit in and agree with this world. We were meant to change it. God called us to change it. Like we were talking a couple of weeks ago, we were designed to be an extension of Jesus Christ until everything becomes like Him. Everything. We understand that we are to be set apart. We are to be an example. We are to be holy as He is holy. There is another way. There's another way besides what you see in movies and hear in music and when you turn the TV on and when you look at social media. There's another way, right? I was watching the Mandalorian, and he's got this cool helmet and this cool armor, and he's talking through this helmet, and so you don't know exactly what his face looks like at first. And he say this because of the code that he lived by and the value system that he lived by. Are there any Star Wars fans in the room right now? Okay, all right. Just want to know what room I'm in. All right, so he said he said a statement that basically said, this is my belief system. This is my code. He would say, this is the way. All right, you're there with me already. This is the way. This is the way. And that meant, this is the code that I live by. These are the principles that I stand by. He would affirm that by saying, this is the way. There's different ways that people can live in this life. This is what Proverbs 14:12 says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in destruction, but it ends in the way of death. There's a way that seems right. It seems like in the natural, I'm making all the right decisions, but that way leads to destruction. It leads to death. It doesn't end well. It seems good at first, but it always fails in the long term. That fast and furious, that lust for this life, that way doesn't end well. Proverbs said it ends in death. The lust for the things of this world will send you down a path of destruction. But the good news is this, there's another way, right? There's another way. Anybody know? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a different way. That whosoever believes in him should not perish. It's another way, but have everlasting life. This is the way to have life. This is the way to not lead in destruction, is when we believe and we follow after Jesus. This is the way. This is the good news, that we don't have to go down the path of destruction. We don't have to obey those desires that the enemy throws out there. We don't have to agree with the current of our world. The undisciplined life. Let me back up for a second and say, Jesus offers us a disciplined life with great fruit. Right. A disciplined life with amazing fruit and amazing opportunities. The enemy offers us an undisciplined life where we fulfill the desires that we want in the moment with a terrible outcome. So on one side, we see Jesus saying, well, pick up your cross and follow me, right? Discipline your life. Cut out the desires that you want in the natural, and I'm going to reward you with eternal life. And these things I'm going to bless you with. I'm going to give you life, and I'm going to give you life more abundantly. He told his disciples, if you've given up all these things, 100-fold I'm going to give you back in this life, plus eternal life. A disciplined life with Jesus, or an undisciplined life where we fulfill the desires of the flesh. We fulfill every desire, whatever comes to our mind, whatever comes to our physical body, our heart, our emotions. We follow after those things undisciplined. It's kind of like working out. When you are disciplined, right? Where's Elda? When you are disciplined, right? You're getting us in shape on Saturdays, right? When you are disciplined, guess what? You're going to have higher self-esteem. You're going to have better functionality. You're going to have better health. And you're going to look in the mirror and you say, I like that. But the undisciplined life, you don't have the same type of health. You don't have the same type of self-esteem. You don't have the same type of functionality. And the end is not what God has for you. Jesus offers us a disciplined life with incredible fruit. The world offers us empty promises with a tragic outcome. We choose to fulfill the desires of the flesh, to fulfill the desires that are innate and interwoven in this world, or to deny ourselves and say, I'm going to follow Christ. I can live with a lust for this world, or I can live with a love for Jesus Christ. It's my choice. It's your choice. But we understand we can't have one foot in both worlds. We understand we can't have one hand on the plow and another hand with a few desires in our hands. We got to let go. Will you bow your heads with me today? I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you today because God has so much more for you. I don't know what you're grappling with today. I don't know what you may be wrestling with today. We all have things that we wrestle with. Some things that we want in the natural. Some things we want in the flesh. But the Holy Spirit's saying you need to let that go. You need to let that desire go. That didn't come from me. That thing's going to hold you back. That thing's going to rob you of your blessing. Just for a second, as you have your head down, just say, Holy Spirit, is there something in my life, a desire that you didn't put there and is holding me back? Is there something I need to let go of today? Show it to me. Make it clear to me today. God, I thank you, Lord, as we're praying, as we're just making space for you right now, Lord, that you would make it clear what we need to let go of. What we need to get out of our life. What we need to deny access to our life. Lord, so you can make us, you can continue to create this new creation. You can continue to transform us and make us like Christ. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I pray for each and every person. God, that you'd give them strength, that you'd give them insight to see what needs to be changed, what desires need to go, what lusts for this world that they need to take a look at in this season so that they can take another step on the spiritual journey that you have for them today. God, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And as heads are bowed, I just want to pray for you. Maybe you have not ever accepted Christ, or maybe you've kind of drifted in your relationship with Jesus and you say, I want to recommit to him, or I want to commit to him for the first time. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. Amen. If that's you, I want to pray for you right where you are. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. We'll all say it together. Jesus, thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you for dying for me so that I could live. Jesus, help me to die to some of these desires. Help me to die to all of the desires that are not like you. I want to follow you. Jesus, help me. Give me the strength. Give me the power to change. I accept your love today. I accept your mercy. I accept your fresh start today. Jesus, I know I need you. Help me follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's give God the praise today. I want you to remember, if God is with you, who can be against you? If God is in your corner, you are undefeated.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.